Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is a little phrase that you'll find tucked away there in the middle of verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 61. And it is these words in the very middle of the verse where it says, "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now whenever a person attends a wedding, a special occasion, or maybe go for a job interview to a new job, they seek always to make their best appearance by dressing up and by putting on their best attire. And while it is proper to look smart for such special occasions and such special functions, there is an attire that is much more important than any earthly garments. And this clothing really concerns a person's preparedness for eternity and a person's preparedness for meeting with God. And in our text here this evening in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, the prophet refers to this matter of being dressed for eternity when he speaks of being clothed with the garments of salvation. In this verse here before us tonight, Isaiah the prophet is testifying of God's salvation in his own life. And in doing so, he speaks here of being clothed with the garments of salvation. With such words, the prophet really tells how he's been properly dressed for eternity. How he's been properly dressed for that time when he will inevitably meet with God after this life. Tonight, people, it is this matter of being clothed with the garments of salvation. This matter of being dressed for eternity that I want us each one to think about. And my prayer is that all in this meeting, young and old alike, men and women alike in this gathering, that each one of you also will be clothed with these garments of salvation. That each one of you also will be properly dressed and properly prepared for eternity, for meeting with God. The first thing that I want you to notice here in relation to our text is man's need for these garments of salvation. You look at our text, look at what Isaiah says. He says, "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." Those words there, as you look at them, they really show us that this man Isaiah, he needed these garments of salvation. You see, before God, what was Isaiah? Before God, by nature, Isaiah was a sinner, lost, condemned, and unclean, on his way to a lost eternity in hell. Back in Isaiah chapter 6, he describes himself by nature before God. And this is what he says. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." He knew his sin. He felt his sin before God. Turn the page over to Isaiah chapter 64 in your Bible and look at verse number 6 of the chapter. And again here, Isaiah is speaking of himself in the light of God and the light of his word. And look at what he says. He says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." There you see from those words that Isaiah realized that he had no righteousness of his own to commend the favor of God. He realized that because of his iniquity, because of his sin in his life, he was drifting farther and farther away from God, that his back was against God and his face was toward hell. Hence this great need of these garments of salvation. And my, just like Isaiah of old, you and I also in this gospel meeting, each one of us, we need these garments of salvation. Why? Because we also, by nature, are lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners before a holy God. The Bible says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners through the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sin was spread upon all mankind. Just as that Ebola virus that you hear oft talked about from time to time in the news is highly contagious, so sin also has been highly contagious and was spread from Adam and Eve upon all mankind. through the fall of Adam, sin affects us all. We are all contaminated with sin. The Shorter Catechism says, all mankind descending from Adam by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. The Bible says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and that sinneth not. All have sinned before Almighty God. And why? Because of our sinful nature. You and I, by nature, what are we before God? We're spiritually dead to God. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. In other words, you and I, by nature, are totally unable to originate any spiritual good to merit God's favor. Also, because of our old sinful nature, you and I, by nature, are slaves to sin. We are serfs to Satan, as one might say. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now the Bible says, in time past, ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air. And that speaks of man being controlled and dominated by sin and by Satan in his unsafe state before God. Also, because of our sinful nature, you and I by nature were enemies and are enemies to God. The Bible says you're enemies in your mind by your wicked works. Sin makes us the enemy of God. Also, because of our sinful nature, we are separated from God. There's a barrier between us and God. The Bible says ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel without God in this world. An alien is one who is stranger to another place or to another person. Because of our old sinful nature, you and I were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, separated from God, strangers to God, without God, the Bible says, in this world. And also because of our old sinful nature, you and I also are condemned, the Bible says, to eternal punishment, to eternal judgment in hell after this life. You see, the Bible says the Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. There is a price to be paid for sin, and that price is eternal judgment, eternal punishment, and hail the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Turn in your Bible over to the last book of the Bible, to the book of the Revelation, to the chapter number 21, and look with me please at the verse number 8, and here you see the end of all sin and the payment, eternal payment for all sin. It says in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there John is talking about eternal punishment in hell when he talks about the lake which burneth with fire and with brimstone. Oh man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, let me say this, each one of us, we all need these garments of salvation. Why? Because of our sin. The awful plight of our sin, the awful ruin of our sin, the awful penalty of our sin. Because of our sin by nature, we are lost before God. We are guilty, defiled sinners before God. My, we are under the condemnation of our sin to a lost eternity in hell. My, such is our condition by nature before God. That is why this man, Isaiah, needed the garments of salvation. And that is why every single one of us in this meeting tonight, there's no one here excluded from this. Why, you and I alike, we need these garments of salvation. Because by nature, you and I are lost and undone sinners before the Holy God. Yes, we see here man's need of these garments of salvation. But notice, secondly, tonight in connection with our text, notice the provision of these garments of salvation for sinful man. Look again at what Isaiah says in our text. And Isaiah 61, verse number 10, and he's speaking here about the Lord. And he says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation.
He have covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Notice the emphasis there that Isaiah puts upon the person of the Lord. He says, He have clothed me. He have covered me. And there you see that the Lord himself was the one who had provided these garments of salvation for Isaiah. And it's the same Lord also who provides these beautiful garments of salvation for sinners like you and I in this meeting tonight. Speaking of this provision in his own life, the hymn writer penned those well-known words, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. They were speaking of the wonderful provision of the garments of salvation for them through the Lord. And my Christ, the sinless Son of God, He is the great provider of these garments of salvation. He is the one who provided them for Isaiah. He is the one who provides them for you and I in this gospel service. You see, as our substitute in this world, Christ, the sinless Son of God, He lived a sinless life. And He perfectly fulfilled the law of God that we all have broken. Now he speaks of that in Matthew chapter 3. He says, For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He fulfilled all the righteous demands of God's holy law. He kept the law of God perfectly. And also as our substitute in this earth, he died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins upon the cross. As a sacrifice to God, he satisfied God's justice. And he made a way for us to be saved from our sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, listen, by his own blood he obtained eternal redemption for us. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, at God's appointed time, Christ died for us the ungodly. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, lost and undone, Christ died for us. Oh, by his perfect life, what has he done? He has provided a perfect righteousness to cover the rags of our old sinful self-righteousness before God. Why, that is why Isaiah there could say in verse 10, in the words of our text, He have covered me, he says, with the robe of righteousness. Again, speaking of the blood of Christ in the book of Leviticus, it says, It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The literal meaning of that word atonement means a covering. And there the word of God tells us that there's a covering for our sin in the blood of Christ. By his precious blood that he shed upon the cross, Christ has provided a covering for all our sins, all our iniquities, and all our transgressions. Let me say tonight that there is no covering for our sin. There is no covering for our rags of self-righteousness in ourselves. There's no covering there. There's no covering for our sin and for our self-righteousness and anything of man, whoever that man is. There is no covering for our sins and our self-righteousness in the ordinance of baptism or in the ordinance of communion or in confirmation or in church membership or on the giving of money to charity or in doing the best we may can. There's no covering for this or for our sin in these things, the things of man's invention, no. There is only one covering for our sin. That's the blood of Christ. The Bible says the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, there is only one covering for the rags of our old self-righteousness before God. And that is the perfect righteousness of Christ, who is called in the Scriptures Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. Bible speaks of Christ and says, For God hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of his sacrifice upon the cross, who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, friend, tonight see your need of these garments of salvation. Not only see your need of these garments of salvation, see the provision that God in grace, God in mercy, God in love to your soul has provided through the person and through the work of His eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a covering tonight for your sin and the blood of Christ. There's a covering tonight for the rags of your old self-righteousness before a holy God in the perfect righteousness of Christ, the Lamb of God. Yes, the need of these garments, the provision of these garments. Notice thirdly tonight from our text, notice the outcome of sinful man having these garments of salvation. What is the outcome? Well, look at the experience here of Isaiah as he writes in verse 10 and the entirety of the verse. Look at what he says. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He says, or I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. He says, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. Notice the outcome there for Isaiah of having these garments of salvation. What was it? It was joy. Joy in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. His soul was happy. His soul was joyful. His soul was full of bliss. And this he was obeying the very command of the Word of God in the book of Philippians, which says to God's people, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. He was rejoicing in the Lord because he had these garments of salvation. Because his sin was covered by the blood of Christ. Because his old rags of self-righteousness were covered by the perfect righteousness of Christ, his Redeemer. And his soul was full of joy, full of happiness. As the hymn writer says, my happy soul rejoices. The sky is bright above. His soul was rejoicing in the Lord. That was the outcome for Isaiah of having these garments of salvation. It was the same for Habakkuk. And he was a faithful servant of God in a day of great barrenness, a day of great dearth. Yet he said these words. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. His heart, his soul was full of joy. Again, it was the same of the Virgin Mary. What did she say in Luke's Gospel? She said, my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Soul was happy and rejoicing and joyful in the Lord because Mary had the garments of salvation. Her sins were covered by the blood of Christ. Her old rags of self-righteousness were covered over by the perfect righteousness of Christ, the heavenly Lamb. Her soul was full of joy, full of happiness, full of jubilation. And you know what will be the same, my friend, for you and me when we also are clothed with these wondrous garments of salvation. My, when our sin is blotted out by Christ's precious blood. And my, whenever our sinful soul is covered by the righteousness of Christ. My, we'll be able to rejoice in the Lord. We'll be able to be joyful in the salvation of our God. Our soul will be happy. Our soul will be joyful. Tell me tonight, is your soul happy in the Lord? Is your soul joyful in the Lord? Are you rejoicing tonight that your sins are covered by the blood of Christ? Are you rejoicing tonight that your sinful soul is covered by the perfect righteousness of Christ? Why, you'll be able to rejoice in the Lord. You'll be joyful in the Lord. When you have on these garments of salvation, yes, we will be able to rejoice in the forgiveness of all of our sins, every single one of our sins, when we have on these garments of salvation. Remember what David said? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What a blessing, what a joy to know all your sins forgiven, whatever those sins are, whatever those sins have been, to have them all forgiven, blotted out by God. What a blessing to be able to joy in the forgiveness of all of your sins. We'll also be able to rejoice in having peace with God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, having made peace through the blood of the cross to reconcile all things unto himself. In this world and in the news, you sometimes hear of peace accords and peace agreements between different peoples, different nations. But you know, whenever you have on the garments of salvation, as we were singing about earlier on, you have eternal peace with God. A peace that is as stable and is as firm as the very throne, the eternal throne of God himself. God is no longer your enemy. When you have on the garments of salvation, you can call him Abba, our Father. He becomes your loving, eternal, heavenly Father. Why, when you've on the garments of salvation, you can rejoice in the forgiveness of all of your sins. You can rejoice in having peace with God. You can rejoice in the very power of God. We were singing earlier on those great words about Christ. It says he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He breaks the power, the chains, the dominion of sin and that life that is clothed with the garments of God's salvation. You go back to verse 1 of this great chapter of Isaiah 61. The opening verses are all about the ministry of Christ in particular. And look at his ministry there in the latter part of verse 1 of Isaiah 61. Here really the prophet is speaking prophetically about Christ, about his ministry in the gospel, his ministry here on earth, his ministry in salvation. And here Christ is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says of God the Father, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Notice it, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I tell you this, when you've on the garments of salvation, you have liberty in Christ. By Christ, yes, we're liberated from the chains of sin and the bondage of Satan. With power to live for God. The Lord says to those who have on his garments of salvation, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. In other words, there's power to live for God, power to serve the Lord, power to witness for the Lord and live the Christian life day by day, whatever the circumstance might be. This is why Isaiah was so full of joy. He had peace, he had power, he had pardon. But notice something else, he had the presence of the Lord. You see, when you have the garments of salvation, you have the presence of the Lord with you. What greater blessing? There's no greater blessing than to have the presence of the Lord with you. Turning your Bible back, please, to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter number 41. And look with me, please, at verse number 10. And here the Lord is now coming, speaking to Isaiah, this man who is clothed with the garments of God's salvation, this man who is dressed for eternity and for meeting with God. And look at the promise the Lord gives to him, and it's the same promise to all who have on the garments of salvation. Isaiah 41 verse 10. The Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What blessed words those are. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's the Lord's promise to all who have the garments of salvation, whose sins are covered by the blood of Christ, whose rags of self-righteousness are covered by the perfect righteousness of Christ, the Lamb of God. Yes, in times of need, times, yes, of loneliness, times of sickness, times of trial, even in times of death, I tell you this, the Lord is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother to all who have on the garments of salvation. Was it any wonder that Isaiah was full of joy, that he was happy in the Lord, that he was rejoicing in the Lord? But then there's something else for those that have on the garments of salvation. There's joy in the assurance of heaven. Joy in the assurance of everlasting life and a home in glory. You think of the words of Christ to his disciples in John chapter 14. those who had on the garments of salvation. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a hope to have. No longer bound for hell, but delivered from sin's penalty, from the wrath to come. Instead of being bound for hell, now bound for heaven, now bound for glory. As the hymn writer says, now bound for the Canaan land. But this is why Isaiah could be joyful. This is why he could rejoice in the Lord. His sins were all forgiven. He had peace with God as maker. He had power and grace to live for God. He had the presence of the Lord with him in his life day by day. And he had a bright and a glorious and a blessed future ahead of him. The future of heaven. The future of glory. That one day he would be with Christ, which is far better. My speaking of the certainty of heaven on his deathbed, a saved man said to his son, son who was also saved, he says, if I should happen to slip off, you'll know where to find me. In other words, the son would meet with him in heaven, meet with him in glory, because he was saved, because he was clothed with the garments of God's salvation, washed in the blood of the Lamb, robed in that finest of all robes, the spotless, perfect righteousness of Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, the need of these garments, the provision of them, the outcome for having them. But notice one final thought tonight, just in connection with our text here in Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse number 10. It is simply this man's reception of these garments of salvation. How do you receive them? How did Isaiah receive them? Well, look again at what he says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 10 and the entire verse. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself of ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You know those words, what do they show us about Isaiah? They show us that Isaiah's faith was in the Lord for salvation. He was trusting in the Lord for the Lord himself to array him and to cover him with these beautiful garments of salvation. Back in Isaiah 53, he spake of Christ and he says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His faith was in Christ, in his sacrifice, in the very righteousness of Christ to be his own. How did he receive these garments? It wasn't by money. It wasn't by good works. It wasn't by doing this or by doing that. It was by him coming to the Lord in faith as a penitent sinner, putting his trust in Christ to be his Savior, that he was clothed with these beautiful garments of God's salvation. Likewise, friend, in our meeting tonight, it is by faith in Christ also, as a penitent sinner, that you and I also receive these beautiful garments of God's salvation. By trusting in Christ as Savior, confessing your sins to him as a repentant sinner, you can know your sins covered, your sins blotted out by the blood of Christ. Listen to the words of the Lord back in Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse number 18. He says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you come as a sinner to Christ, confessing your sins to him as a repentant sinner, you can know your sins covered, your sins blotted out. The Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Yes, by trusting Christ as Savior, you can know all your sins forgiven, covered, blotted out before God. Not only your sins forgiven, but your soul can be covered. covered and robed and arrayed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes. Philippians chapter 3 in the verse number 9, he speaks of the Lord and he says this, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, if ever a man could have worked his way, as it were, to a righteous standing before God, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Touching the law of God, he said himself that he was blameless. He was a devoutly religious man. God opened his eyes, made him see his need as a sinner on the road to Damascus. He says of all his old self-righteousness and all his old religiosity, he says, "I count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He was resting in Christ for a covering of his sin and the covering of the rags of his old self-righteousness. The hymn writer says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The hymn writer penned those words. They were covered. They were robed in the righteousness of Christ. Their sin was covered by the blood of Christ. Hence they could say that their hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, righteousness. Oh friend, tonight in our meeting unsaved, if you come as a sinner to Christ, confess your sins to him. Acknowledge your need as a sinner before him. Ask him to wash you and cleanse you in his precious blood. Ask for that covering through his perfect righteousness. The Lord will not turn you away. He will save you. He'll fit you for heaven. He will clothe you with these beautiful garments of his so great salvation. I tell you this, you'll be dressed up for eternity. You'll be properly dressed for meeting with God. For that time when you'll stand before God, your Maker. Oh, don't go out of the meeting tonight without these garments of salvation. For without them, you're lost. If you die without them, without your sins being covered, and without the righteousness of Christ being upon you, your soul will be forever lost. A lost eternity where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We're going to